I love seeing rare birds, and after driving all the way down to the Bosque del Apache National Wildlife Refuge in New Mexico, I really did want to see the rufous-necked wood rail that had improbably appeared there. But even though I had no luck whatsoever my first evening and my first full day at the refuge, I was having such a good time watching other birds, including new species for my conservation big year list, that it didn't seem all that critical to me whether I saw the wood rail or not. But a lot of people were rooting me on, and I was starting to get the feeling that I'd be letting them down if I didn't see it. So Tuesday night I set my alarm for 5 a.m. I had to load up my car and check out of my motel room in Socorro Wednesday morning, but was on the road before the sun was up. It had rained the night before, and the rising sun as I drove down the final stretch out of San Antonio produced a beautiful rainbow that filled the sky ahead of me. That felt portentous. I was anxious to get to the refuge boardwalk, but don't drive anywhere close to the speed limit on that road. There are just too many animals out in early morning. So I moseyed, making it to the boardwalk about 7. Everyone there was looking at the same point in the water where two stunning black-necked stilts seemed to glow in the sun. But the birders were not looking at the stilts. The rufous-necked wood rail was right next to them, even more stunning than I'd imagined, almost glowing in the sunlight, its reflection in the water lit up as beautifully as it was. It slowly worked its way to the muddy shore by the cattails, then headed back in the water for a bit longer, and finally skulked into some cattails. It had been out for quite a while before I arrived. Sandy Comito had already seen it and left by the time I arrived, so I didn't get to see how one of the world's biggest bird chasers reacts when he sees a new bird, but as a one-time-only chaser, I was sure happy. We can't really call the rufous-necked wood rail a rarity because it's fairly common in its normal range. What brings such an exceptional bird so far from home? Most vagrants appear during migration season or following major storm systems. Of course, we don't know if this bird had been at Bosque for days or weeks before Matt Daw first discovered it. The refuge is one of the most popular in the entire National Wildlife Refuge system and is incredibly heavily birded during fall, but doesn't get much attention in summer, so we can't be certain whether the wood rail took a wrong turn during migration or left its home range during the breeding season. But it's quite possible that this year's exceptional drought and hot weather were related, or that habitat destruction sent it packing. One of the reasons I don't like chasing vagrants is that the long-term prognosis for so many of them is poor. While I was working at the Cornell Lab of Ornithology, a magnificent frigate bird turned up in Ithaca, New York, following a major hurricane. That poor, out-of-place wanderer was found dead the morning after it first appeared. I was glad I hadn't gone to see it. I'd have felt really sad whenever I saw that check on my New York State bird list. But major changes in climate and continued habitat destruction are going to force many birds to find new homes or die out, so we can expect more and more out-of-range birds to appear here and there in the coming years, even as more and more species dwindle and disappear. There's at least a glimmer of hope that wildlife refuges like Bosque del Apache will provide a safe haven for some of these wanderers, but whether these relatively tiny refuges can sustain viable populations of increasing numbers of desperate species is unlikely. The Bosque del Apache Refuge was purchased in the first place with federal duck stamp money. I will never be a hunter, but I happily paid for a one-day pass to Bosque, and I purchased 2 duck stamps, one to keep and one to sign. That one will give me free admission to other wildlife refuges for the coming year, but I'll probably pay the day admission to them too. It takes a bite out of my limited discretionary income, but supporting these jewels of habitat is far more important than most other things I could buy. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.